This is Ashley Hodge. I'm here with Larry Gatewood, a basketball legend from Baylor University, who played in the 67-70. Do I got the years right, Larry?
Yes, it was back when electricity was invented.
So we're going to talk women's basketball today on this podcast. We've given some attention to the men. We've had some podcasts after each of those games. But today we're going to focus on the women. And this is good timing because we're coming off a ranked opponent versus Arizona State, where they had to go out to Arizona and play them. And they fell behind pretty early. They looked pretty sloppy to start the game. They turned the ball over a lot. They got themselves in a hole. But as many Kim Mulkey teams do, they kept fighting, and they were able to come out victorious 65-59 versus Arizona State. It was a good win versus a top 25 team, and certainly some performances stood out to me. And so I just want to share a couple thoughts, and then I want to get Larry's opinion. That's the one that our listeners want to hear. But first of all, I was really impressed with Nalissa Smith, the freshman, 6'2" forward. She was terrific. She had 16 points, 11 rebounds. I thought she played very poised. There was one stretch of the game that I remember, and I wrote this down to make sure I had it right. Arizona State was up 47-45 in the third quarter, and she hit a jumper to tie the game that was, you know, just a really smooth mid-range shot. And then she got a layup in transition on the next possession, so that put Baylor up 49-47. And then she made a hustle play that led to a kick out to Juicy Landrum, where Baylor hit its only three-point shot of the day, and that put some separation between them. I think that made the score 52-47, and Baylor was able to hold on for a victory after that. And then the other person I want to recognize, you know, just because we know Kalani Brown is great, we know Lauren Cox is great, Chloe Jackson obviously looks like she's going to have a huge impact, the transfer from LSU. But I was pretty impressed by Caitlin Bickle. She came in there. She only played 6 minutes. She had a hustle play to save a ball from going out of bounds. She had a really quick layup or hook shot, put really good post move for her only basket of the day. And I think she ended up getting hooked. I have a suspicion why. I think she got lost on defense, and it led to an open three from Arizona State. And I don't think we saw her in the game after that. But, you know, I do think, you know, Mulkey went with a pretty short bench in this game. She played six players over 20 minutes, and that was pretty much it. Lauren Cox, Kalani Brown, Dee Dee Richards, Juicy Landrum, Chloe Jackson, and then the only freshman that saw significant time was Smith. So those are my observations. What about you, Larry? What did you see?
Well, I thought the first half was chemistry. They really are not real balanced yet, chemistry-wise. You got a lot of young kids. And I was really impressed with Kim's talk. She was very, had a lot of cool talking to the announcer and everything. I'm sure she wouldn't pull her hair out. But she was real cool and real patient, understanding, you know, a lot of stuff. And of course, losing an all-star guard like they did, it definitely affects the whole team. And you're asking a two guards play point guard. And Kim has been really revolutionary with point guard play in the past, taking somebody who basically is not really a good point guard and defining her role, and she does a lot of really good things. So I think there's a transition for that little girl. You can practice it all you want to do it, but when you put it into play, it's going to take a while for her to come around. The other thing is the Smith girl is, what's really interesting about her is she's very active. And I know that I've used this before. Position rebounders, where if you shoot on the left, you're going to get inside position because the ball come off, you know, 60-70% of the time opposite where you shot it. And then there's what I call GTDRB, where they go to the ball to get the rebound.
Right.
She can go to the ball and get the rebound. And she can really jump. And that's unusual for a girl like that to be able to jump. I never really knew what the word jump when I played. So it's nice to see somebody else jump. But she's very active. And she's got long arms, and I actually thought that game, they functioned, they were very successful when they had her and one of the other post players in there. And because they were able, she's a lot more active, and you don't know where she is. The others are just block high post players. And then, like Nicole, she did hustle. And you know, there's just going to be, everybody's going to have to wear a little bit different role after the loss of that guard.
Yeah, and by the way, this has probably been talked about on the Baylor women's message board. I don't know if it has been or not, but I heard through a little mole that Alexis Morris may be back at Baylor next year. So that's something for Lady Bears fans to look forward to. If she keeps on the straight and narrow, there's a chance for her to get back next year. And they could certainly use her. She is a difference maker for sure.
Well, you know, the crazy thing about kids is that, you know, you get away from home and you may do some things you're not supposed to do and stuff like that. And of course, when we were in Baylor, we just lived in a dorm, so all our mischief was done in the dorm. You know, we didn't do it outside, so nobody really knew what we did.
Right.
You know, as far as those kind of things. So, you know, that's really good. You know, John Wooden used to say, you know, when a player quit, he let him quit and he let him come back,
right.
You know, one time,
right.
You know, and stuff. So I'm glad to see that, you know, there's some optimism and some positiveness floating around for the possibilities in the future.
Yeah, no doubt. So I want to not to hype her up too much. But I really thought this was my first time watching Melissa Smith. And what came to mind for me is that she's a taller version of Nina Davis, that she has a lot of the same traits that Davis had for Baylor. You know, she's active, she hustles, she can play inside, but a little better shooter from the outside and a taller version. So I'm going to go on record today and say then when all is said and done, Melissa Smith's going to be the best basketball player to ever come through the Baylor women's program, and that's a pretty bold statement. But I'm going to go ahead and put that down.
Wait a minute, can I pick myself off the floor, please? Can I please pick myself off the floor?
No, I mean, obviously, it seems like an absurd statement when you have Brittany Griner and you have Odyssey Sims. And, you know, you name it, there's just a great lineage of awesome women's basketball players under Kim Mulkey. And we got two really good ones on the team right now, and Lauren Cox and Kalani Brown as well, that might take some issue with that statement. But I just was blown away by her performance. It's one performance, so we'll see as the season goes along. But
what the Baylor fans don't realize is how much arguing you and I do about the realistic stuff of I have to keep you so grounded on some of your evaluations and different things like that. But I'm you know, I don't know what you ate for breakfast this morning, but you know, we'll I'm gonna write this date down in your prediction, and we hope it's true. In my opinion, the best player to ever play at Baylor is Odyssey Sims.
Right.
Now I know Brittany Griner was there, but Odyssey Sims, boy, I tell you, she comes to play every night. And if she's better than Odyssey Sims, it's a heck of a deal.
Yeah, she has a lot to prove in order to stake that claim for sure. And obviously, Odyssey Sims was part of a 40-0 national champion team. So
right.
You have to accomplish those kind of things to be in that, to get that honor or to get that accolade. Okay, so I know we've talked about this on the phone, just you and I some. You know, it's been talked about a lot on the Baylor message boards. The Achilles heels Achilles heel for Baylor teams in the past couple years has been teams that shoot the three well. And, you know, Baylor, that's not something Baylor's been really strong at for quite a while. You know, they've had good three-point shooters in the past. Obviously, you coached one that helped lead them to a national championship and with Emily. But, you know, what do you think about that? I mean, they only took three-pointers. Juicy Landrum hit one. They only took three attempts. Arizona State, I think, had 11 three-pointers. And, you know, ended up only 11 for 30. So they missed a lot of those three-point shots in the second half that they were hitting in the first half. But that concerns me about Baylor down the road when you look at playing teams like Notre Dame and UConn, potentially. I mean, obviously, they're going to play UConn in the regular season. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the other night I saw I was watching one of those deals on TV about Duke. And Coach K was talking to his team, and he said, these are the three things you have to do to be a good player at Duke and to be a good basketball player, period. And he goes, he said, guys, first thing, you got to be able to make 3 points. He said, number two, you got to be able to make free throws. And number three, the most important thing is you got to be as tough as your mom is. And I mean, I'm going, now, where are we going with this, you know, and all this? And he's real simple when he says it, and it's so meaningful, is that you've got to be able to, your mom gets up day and says she doesn't want to be a mom today.
Right.
She doesn't want to be a mom at all. She gets up. She doesn't feel good. She's fixing you breakfast. She's cracking the whip to get you dressed and out the door. Then when you come home to crack the whip so you get your homework and that you keep your nose clean and all that. And I mean, man, that just hit me between the eyes. And of course, my mother would always, she's 5'2", and I'm 6'6", and She said, I'm the meanest mom in the whole world, but you'll respect me someday, you know? And so that's good. But getting to the reality of it is, you know, I don't think making threes is like a first option for Baylor women's basketball.
Right.
Okay. And you know, that doesn't mean that they're not a good team. That doesn't mean the coach is wrong. It plays into their philosophy. I know that, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a play run strictly for somebody to get a three.
Right.
And I think it's primarily, let's get it inside. And then of course, I was looking at this. I went to the stats of UConn this morning, and I was just checking, on three-pointers. Baylor's played three games, and they shot 23s. And in the first game against, I got to be more organized. I think on UConn, in their first game, Dangerfield and Samuelson shot 13 threes in their first game. And it's a way of life, and it's just, I know that the fact you don't really have to guard that in practice a lot of times, that when you finally play somebody that really has a three-point game, you know, it's a shock to the system shutting somebody down, you know, and stuff like that. Because, you know, but I mean, it doesn't mean that the Baylor women's program is a second-class citizen at all.
Right. Well, yeah, and certainly, you know, Baylor out-rebounded Arizona State 49-30. They were dominant on the boards, as you would expect, having the two best bigs in America with Lauren Cox and Kalani Brown. You know, certainly the best tandem for sure. You know, South Carolina, I won a national championship a few years ago where they had a similar, and I'd have to go back and look at, you know, what what their three-point shooting was like, because they had those two dominant bigs and they won a national championship with them. So, you know, that's not – it's certainly – Baylor's going to be there. But, you know, obviously the worry is, because we've seen it happen, is if a team has a good big that can somewhat, you know, neutralize or hold their own against our size and our rebounding advantage – and then if they can kick out and hit threes, that's been a problem for Baylor when we get to the Elite Eights in the last few years. You know, and obviously without Alexis Morris, you know, Alexis Morris would have probably changed this conversation a little bit. You know, Kim Mulkey has to play to her strengths. But hopefully we can see some development in that area as the season goes along, because I think we're going to need it against the better teams.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd love to see she shoots them if she's open, but I'd love to see plays set up where Cox is set screens, where she comes up and she's had somebody screen for her, and she gets to shoot open screen and not have to just be a person who her person drops back, where Cox knew as soon as she got the ball, she was going to shoot a three. That makes a big difference.
Right.
And the mentality of the three-point shooters. And, I mean, going back to Emily Neiman, you know, that came off the bench in the national finals and hit all those threes. Emily knew as soon as she got the ball, she's looking threes. I mean, Emily, when she was at the water fountain, she was thinking, I'm going to be shooting three.
Right.
And if she was open at the water fountain. Now, the difference between her and me is I was thinking when I got off the bus, if I could shoot it from the butt, that's where I'd be shooting it. But it has to do with confidence. It really does.
Right.
You know?
And I love your quote that you've told me several times when – you know, you say teammates would always say, Larry, why don't you pass the ball to me more? And you say, I do. They're called rebound opportunities.
Yeah, go get it off the board. That's a pass.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to be exciting to watch them. And we're going to do a few more of these podcasts as they have bigger games. You know, certainly we'll do one perhaps, you know, after the South Carolina game when they play them December 2nd, and then against, you know, Stanford and UConn. You know, they've got some really tough games on their schedule coming up with those three ahead of them before conference play. But in general, any other comments? I know you have watched the men's game some. Are you excited about the roster transition for the men?
Well, you know, the thing that's great about the men, Baylor's completely opposite than they were last year. They've got athletic wing guys and guys who can shoot. And they're really going to be a fun team to watch. I don't know how well we'll contain size on the front line because, you know, we've had the tendency to get in foul trouble.
Right.
And but, you know, I hope those two guys, you know, one will get their minds get it straightened out, and the other one will get his foot straightened out, you know, so they can add to the repertoire of those kids, because we got some guys that can really score and blow by people. And this is the quickest, I think this might be the quickest team Scott's had.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just gonna, it really was neat to see them go out and fill the void that they needed, you know. And of course, we're going to miss Jake. I mean, you know, it's a shame that he's had to go through all the injury and the surgeries and stuff like that. But,
right.
You know, we'll miss him. But you know, it's a great time for Baylor basketball.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited, and certainly if we could get that arena done, that would just add a much needed jolt to the both programs. You know, to get a smaller venue that's more conducive to basketball. I think the future is really bright with the coaches we have and certainly the facility plans that are coming up. And this is a big weekend for Baylor sports in general. I'm going down there Friday. I couldn't contain myself. I got a hall pass from my wife. She's letting me do this. I'm going to go down and watch the men play at 11 o'clock on Friday afternoon. And then 6 o'clock, there's the women are playing a volleyball game versus the University of Texas. And they're a really hot team right now. They've won, I think, 4 straight matches. They're really starting to play well and hit their stride heading into postseason. So I'm excited about that. And then we got soccer at 7 o'clock versus Vanderbilt, which is going to be fun. And then the next morning, we've got a big football game. We've got Texas Christian University coming to town. So big weekend for Baylor sports. Are you gonna make any of those games, Larry? Are you gonna make any of those 4?
We'll make the football game, but no, it's there's really just a lot of really good stuff, and I know this is a big game because the big rival with TCU, and but you know the Bears, they get better every week. They may not win, but they get better every week, and. It would be unbelievable if they could pull this one out and win 6 games this year. That would, I mean, Coach Rule's doing all the right stuff, and it's nice. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, there'd be nothing better than to be bowl eligible with a win over TCU, with the possibility of knocking them out of bowl eligibility. I mean, that would be just a terrific end, to the season. I know we still have a game left, and so does TCU, but it would be good to go ahead and seal that 6th win on Saturday.
Well, not to say you live in Fort Worth and you get to make some TCU people eat crow, but you know, hey, it is. It's fun. It's it's good to get through the muck that we as fans and players of all the sports have gone through with all the stuff that went on. And, I can say right now for Baylor, there's a light at the end of the tunnel and it isn't a train. That's the good thing.
Yeah, good words. All right, we'll wrap this up today and we'll be back in a couple weeks after the South Carolina game to do another one. So you've been listening to the Sikkim 365 podcast with Larry Gatewood. Have a great day.